First Peter chapter 5, if you have a Bible. If you don't and you wait for some notes, you'll probably be okay. First Peter chapter 5. I think there's pure evil walking there. Speaking. Amber, is there a problem here? I've been asking them to do this for years, Amber, and they won't. All right. If you have some notes, let's stand together. We're just going to, by the way, tonight is extreme opposite of this morning, intentionally. A pastor cannot preach two sermons like I preached this morning because it is far too distracting. Let me just say this to everybody. Did you notice anything about the music, Steve? We don't plan music. Now, there are churches, and it's not wrong. Most of my friends plan music according to the message. The pastor does. I don't do that. I intentionally don't. Tonight's message, all the songs have been kind of sober. Let's slow this train down. Let's think about life. Did you notice that? Every song, at least the last three. This morning's message, can I say this? If you don't get that, you're wasting your entire existence. And I'll say this as clearly as I can. There are people at Lake County that are wasting their entire existence. I got some people consumed by fear. I got some people consumed by, can be any number of things. We spend our life criticizing. By the way, when you're criticizing, do you understand why you're criticizing? Because it makes you look good and feel good about you. That's nice. We all do it. Do a little bit of it and move on and get back to the thing called life. My friends, this morning, carpe diem. If you don't get that, I don't know what to say about life. Now, there are churches you can go to like ours. They're similar to ours. You can go there every week. You never get challenged. You feel comfortable. You go home, and it's always the same. If you like that, this is not that church. Tonight's just comfort. There's nothing provocative tonight at all. That's very intentional. We're going to talk about a guy named Silvanus. I know he's one of your heroes of the faith. Minor characters. By the way, once I started reading this, I realized much bigger impact than I ever thought about. The title is 1221. That's not deep. You'll figure that out. Verse 12. Peter concludes his epistle by saying this. By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you. And by the way, this English is kind of, can I say, it's like bloop, bloop, bloop. So is Greek. It's almost like Peter's having a hard time getting out of his mouth what he's trying to say. By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, I have concluded, it's logizomai, I've come to that conclusion. I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying, he's talking about his whole book, that this is the true grace of God wherein you stand. So he's talking about a man named Silvanus, who is a faithful brother. And it seems, and by the way, I'm going to assume this, though this is extremely debatable, that probably Silvanus, look at me, everybody, wrote the book for Peter. We'll talk about that in the introduction in a little bit later. It's not real deep. By the way, Paul didn't write anything of his own. He says this much. So, you know, and there's a reason for that. We'll talk about that. This will just be interesting. It'll also clear up a lot of things that I won't have time to discuss tonight. I hope it's helpful. And it's, again, nothing like this morning. This morning, I'm going to quote Lois. your life is divided into three stages: go-go, slow-go, and no-go. And that ain't no joke. And I want to say this. Someday you have to figure out, are you going to live your life when you can't do it anymore? And you no longer have the desire. You don't want to leave your house, your bedroom, your couch. So that's the sermon this morning. Tonight is about Sylvanus. It's just a real simple message, and we're going to try to be done by 7 o'clock. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Bless our time. I ask this in Christ's name. Amen. I'm going to begin without much ado. In your notes, I ask a question. What does it mean to be literate? By the way, it's really easy to say I'm literate, but what does that mean? What is literacy? There's always these big debates. How many people are literate? Can I say this to you? I would say many people I meet, I don't consider literate because they cannot read something and understand what they read and tell you back what they read. That to me is literacy. If you cannot follow along and then kind of in your own language say, this is what the person said, you're not literate whether you can read words or not. It's a big discussion in biblical teaching too. What does literacy consist of? Well, reading, writing. It used not to be, but now it's pretty much typing. Jesse came home and Amy was so impressed to tell me, I don't know, is it Carly teaching this? Do you teach this, Sister Emily? Jesse was doing cursive writing. Do you guys still do cursive? Do you realize in most schools they no longer do cursive? That's now a thing of the past. Yeah. So what is it? And then, of course, does understanding come into this? Now, I'll tell a quick story. When does this happen to me? I started pastoring in 1988. So we're talking, 86, but 88 as a senior pastor, 38 years ago. Folks, look up here. Real simple. I started preaching the Bible, and I started realizing I had several men in the church that could not read. Do not say anybody's name. We don't have them now. Do you know that we had two men in this church that could not read? Could not read. We probably have a half a dozen that can't really. You don't know that. By the way, if you cannot read, that means you have a hard time being consecutive and logical and systematic, and your mind is all over the place. Yes, I started encountering this as a pastor. It's like I didn't know there were people that couldn't read in America. That might seem strange to you. I grew up in a family where my mother read. My dad read more than my mother. My dad read not a tabloid newspaper. Of course, we don't even do newspapers. He had the big, long newspaper folded in half. He opened that thing up, and he'd turn it around and turn it around and turn it around. The Alton Evening Telegraph, he read it from front to cover every day of his life. He read. I grew up reading. We read at church. By the way, our kind of environment of a church, because we were a Bible-oriented church, we're not liturgical. We don't do responses. We do reading. Reading was common. The old people in my church in St. Louis could read as well as any educated person in this room. It was just part of our life, reading. Boy, was I surprised. At Lifegate Baptist Church, we had people that couldn't read, and I came here and found out we had two men, that could not read at all. I did not know they existed. Later on, I found out one of my relatives couldn't read. So I'm going to tell this story. I didn't know Dan was going to be here. So Dan, I'm going to tell you about my dad in the U.S. Army. And by the way, my dad was never happy that I went into the Navy. And your dad's never happy that you went in the Army. So, you know, we got it. 1945, Dad was in Europe. The war got over in Japan in the fall. He was already over in Europe, got over in April, May, in 45 in Germany. Dad was in Germany. He told me this story a couple times. I should have asked more questions. I didn't ask enough. He said one morning they lined us up. I don't know how big the us was. Was it 100? Was it 1,000? Was it 10,000? I have no idea. He said they lined us up in formation, and the officer came and addressed us and said, how many of you can read and write? Now, that to me is like, well, of course we can read and write. Dad said, and then the officer said, we're going to do two things. If you can read and write, please step forward. Jim, is it true that you don't volunteer in the Navy? You don't volunteer any place, but, you know, step forward. Dad said the vast majority of guys didn't step forward. He looked around, and Dad only went to third grade, but he could read very well and do math well, smart. Dad says, I step forward, and then the officer said, now, after this, we're going to test to make sure you can read and write. He said, some guys step back. That was the best thing he ever did, because he said, now, he says, we got transferred, forgive me, because I don't know the armies. He went from the First Army to the Third Army, the Third Army to the First Army. I don't remember what it was. By the way, they weren't going to Japan, so I think he cared about. Dad said, they made me an MP, which was great for promotion. You know his first duty? The Nuremberg trials, the end of World War II. That was Dad's first duty, because he could read and write. His second duty? After the trials were over, they sent him to Linz, Austria, which is where the military two-star general governor was. He drove the Jeep for the governor. He learned German. He messed around. He had fun. He said, all I ever did all day was drive the general wherever he wanted to go. We worked out. We boxed. We wrestled. We learned German. He did other things he shouldn't have done. He said, I went to 8 full operas in Venice. Best seat in the house with the two-star general. A country boy from southwestern Illinois. Now, I tell all that about literacy. Got me? What's it mean to be literate? Reading and... But you got a problem. I'm going to tell you, in many places in the world, people could read and they could not. Jenny, you have been. You have been to Copan. You have been to Quiriguá. You have been to, Palenque, the three places where the most writing in the Maya world. Look at me. The Maya people could read the writing, but they couldn't do it because you had to carve in stone. Reading and writing are not the same, folks. Many people could read but couldn't write because it wasn't like, well, where's my paper? Well, I got to make some paper. Where's my pen? Well, you didn't have a pen. We'll get to that later. I'm going to talk about this guy because he deals with the subject of literacy and writing the Bible. Number one in your notes. It's not number one. There are no number ones, twos. It looks like there is. There's actually 1221. There's one man. I'm just going to introduce you to the man Silvanus. He is mentioned 4 times by the name Silvanus in the New Testament. It says in 1 Peter 5:12, by Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose, meaning as I have concluded, I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein you stand. 2 Corinthians 1:19. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who is preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus or Timothy, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. 1 Thessalonians 1:1, Paul and Silvanus, and it's amazing, Timothy again. Why? Because these were people that assisted Paul in various ways. 2 Thessalonians 1:1, Paul and Silvanus and Timothy. Number, it's not numbered, so I got to get over the number. Look at, you see the title? 1221, 1221. One person, one individual, one man, two names, two ministries, one mission. Just that simple. Silvanus had two names, undoubtedly. He's called Silvanus literally, which is, well, I'll get to it in a moment, but that's a Latin form of the name. That's what he's called by Peter. But when another writer mentions him, it never calls him Silvanus. It calls him Silas. Acts 15:22, then it pleased it by the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabbas. Well, that's an interesting name. But anyhow, and Silas, chief men among the brethren, otherwise probably one of the pastors or leaders in the church of Jerusalem. In your notes, we'll do this quickly. There are two names for this gentleman in the New Testament, Silvanus and Silas. In your notes, I'll just do Silvanus on the left side. The word Silvanus is mentioned 4 times in the New Testament. You read all 4 references to Silvanus. It is used in Paul and Peter's epistles. So you will find the name Silvanus in both Paul and Peter. Secondly, which does this make sense, it was used by Paul and Peter. It seems to be the name that Peter and Paul called Silvanus. Atok. I met with this lady that sits over here, Loy. Now, I found out from your wife, you guys call her Inky. So I'm up there in the office talking to the husband and the wife, and the husband's name is Mike. We're talking along. See, this is me. I know Filipinos. I looked at him and said, all right, what does your family and friends call you, the people that know you best? Mike. Now, where I'm from, we might say Mikey. He said, bong, bong. I looked at him with a smile this big. I said, perfect Filipino name, bong, bong. I mean, that is, do you realize people aren't always called the same thing? Friends, I'm sitting beside my cousins. Now, we're all older. It's some family gathering the last 5 or 6 years. I'm sitting with a group of my cousins and maybe some uncles. So they're all 40s, 50s, and 60s. And and one of them said, Aunt Sis. There's just my mom and two sisters. My mom's sister, the middle one is Mary, and the other one is Dorothy or Dot. Nobody calls her Dorothy because Dorothy was grandma's. So who's Sis? And then it dawned on me. That's right. The brothers and sisters call my mom Sis. So my cousins call my mother Aunt Sis. I've never called my mom Aunt Sis. Can I say this to you? She'd probably whack me if I called her Aunt Sis. Hi, Sis. Oh, no, no, no. Don't you call mom Sis. Can I say this? People have different names in your notes. So it's mentioned Silvanus is used 4 times. It's used in Paul's and Peter's epistles. It's used by Paul and Peter. It is the Latin form of the name. When I go into certain restaurants around here, they do not call, by the way, many of them call me pastor because they all know who I am. And the ones that don't call me pastor, if you go to Los Naranjos, which I go there once a year or so, Jenny, is that about right? Once a year? Probably twice a week on average. You say, what are they? They know I'm a pastor, but most of them call me, they don't call me Ralph. Rafael. Am I a different person? It's a different setting. By the way, I prefer, if I had to choose the name, I'd get rid of the Ralph tonight. I think Rafael sounds nice. I think Ralph sounds, by the way, when I grew up, this is people like Amber. I'm going to be picking on her tonight. People like Amber would come up to me and say, oh, Ralph, Ralph. Don't look at me funny, Amber. You know you would do it. I'm just messing with Amber. Do you understand? If I had to choose Rafael, that sounds so much better. So nice. That's the Latin name, Silas. I'm going to get Amber in trouble, so I better move on. Silas is used 13 times in the New Testament. It's used only in the book of Acts. Now, I want everyone to look at me. Luke was Jewish. Oh, excuse me, wasn't Jewish. Luke wrote Greek, and Luke used the Greek form of the name. Same person. It has to be the same person, because how do we know it has to be? Because in Paul's epistle, Silvanus is traveling with Paul. In Acts, it's Silas. They're the same name. They're just come from two different languages. Luke was the Greek speaker. That was his focus. They all spoke Greek, but Luke, that was his big language. So in your notes, 13 times in the New Testament, it's used only in Acts, and it's used by Luke. It is the Greek form of his name, as opposed to Latin. Possibly, some people think it might also be kind of, you know how we go back and forth with nicknames. I'll say this and move on. By the way, this is not deep, is it? One man, two names. Look up here. He's not here tonight. You know, obviously some folks live in different ways. Right back here, Adesets. Folks, I called him Daniel for years until I found out nobody in his family ever calls him Daniel. And then I found out one day they had a party at Ade and Linda's house. They had, according to Leah, 9 Daniels. So she said, we got to get some other kind of name. By the way, Daniel Akinji. You know, he comes here. He'll be here hopefully sometime this fall. Daniel goes by the name Inji. You know why? Because there's too many Daniels in the family. Nicknames. Maybe it's a nickname, or maybe it's just another form of the same name. All right, so we talked about one man, two names, and now two ministries. This is where things get crazy. I don't mean in a bad way. They get crazy interesting, really, and somewhat debated. I personally find it fascinating. 1 Peter 5:12 says this, "By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose, I have written briefly." It seems to me when I read it in Greek and in English, Silvanus was the writer, and Paul and Peter used him to write things down. I think that's what it says. We'll look at that a little bit in a minute. Acts 15:22 says this. Now, this is much earlier, friends. This is in Acts 15 when they had the big discussion between the church in Antioch in Syria and the church in Jerusalem. And it's not the churches that have a problem. It's not the apostles. But there's some people up there that say, you've got to keep the law in order to be saved. They said, no, you don't. I'm going to say it in shorthand. If you're Jewish, you don't have to become a Gentile. And if you're a Gentile, you don't have to become Jewish. You get saved through Christ and Christ alone. That was the whole point. So they're having an argument. They write a letter. Notice what it says. You read with me. This is the King James. By the way, I'm not going to get into some of the debatable issues tonight. Then pleased it the apostles and elders. So you had apostles still at Jerusalem. And elders, which an elder, pastor, bishop, overseer, those three terms. Overseer, overseer is episkopos. You have presbyteros as an elder. You have poimenos, which is a pastor. They're all the same people. This group of people with the whole church, it pleased not only the apostles, not only the elders, but the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. Then it gives the names. Judas, surnamed Barnabas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. And look what it says in verse 23. They wrote letters. In Greek, it's a little bit more specific than that. They, through their own hands. Heros is the Greek word for this. Everybody see this? It's saying they wrote these letters with this thing here called their hands. By them, meaning the group. Everybody look at me. Can I make a chart? I think Silvanus was the person that wrote under Peter, the book of 1 Peter. I think he's also probably the person that wrote the letter that was circulated to all the churches from the apostles. You say, why do I think that? Because I think the text is very clear, though most modern translations, can I say this? They just eliminate this. They try to, I don't know why. I don't really know why. It goes on to say this, and they wrote, I think the they has to refer back, doesn't have to, but it seems logical, refers back to Judas and Silas. They wrote these letters by them, by their hands, after this manner. And we go to the letter. Next page, please, of your notes. Verse 24 says this, for as much, this is what the letter said, or this is what they're saying. For as much as we heard that certain which went out from us troubled you with words, subverting your soul, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. He says it seemed good. It's summarizing what the apostles want written down. It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. 15:30 says, so when they dismissed them, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, guess what they did? That epistle that they had written, they then handed to them, and it goes on to say, which when they had read, probably same people, Paul might have, Barnabas might have, or it wasn't Barnabas at this time, it could have been Silas. They read the epistle, the one they had written down, taken down from the apostles. It says they rejoiced for the consolation. And verse 40 and 41 later, it says, Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. It seems to me Silas had two ministries with Peter and Paul. The first part of the ministry focuses on what I'm going to just simply call writing. Is writing difficult? Let me ask everybody, does everybody can write in this room? Let me ask you a second question. Can you write with your hand? Now, my friend Kevin Bowder, most of you know Dr. Bowder, said he can no longer write well with his hand. Your handwriting get better or worse with age? Now, in my case, it has not gotten worse. It started bad. It's still bad. But in some cases, friends, we're going to talk about writing. You say, this is boring. Can I say this to all of you? If you ever encounter people that say there were multiple kinds of gospels in the New Testament era, I've read this. Peter and Paul had a different gospel. You got a problem. The same guy is working with both people. Hello? There's only one gospel. These people intermixed and interacted. There was not a gospel for the Jews and one for the Gentiles. Acts 15 says the opposite. We're all saved the same way, of course. There's never multiple gospels. But anyhow, in your notes, it seems Silas had two ministries with Peter and Paul. First of all, writing. Writing. In both 1 Peter 5:12 and in Acts 15:23, you have this concept of writing. It seems to be pretty, it seems like that's what they did. Now, I want to say something about Paul. Paul was obviously exceptionally literate, obviously in reading. He was a trained man. He was trained in Jerusalem. He was obviously gifted and could speak in speaking. But so you have, I said reading, speaking. He was also good in, obviously, in reasoning. He could think well. So all of this was obvious from Paul. What about writing? Everyone look at me, please. Jenny, you have been there. Has anybody else in this room been to a Maya ruin? I don't want to bore. Right, let's say this. How about Egypt? How about Egypt? Do you know the person, you say, I want you to go write something for me, and the person's thinking, where am I getting the stone from? Do you carry the stone in your pocket? You say, writing is more difficult in the ancient world because much of writing wasn't done on paper. Now, that doesn't mean people couldn't write at all, but frankly, when you ask the question, were they literate, it might not mean exactly what you're thinking. Because in our culture, if you can read, you can write. But what if you grew up in a culture where writing was carving in stone? Wait a minute, I got to go home and pick up my hammer and my chisel. It's a little more difficult. By the way, we have been in the Maya world in, I don't have a clue how many places. And even in the Maya scientific community, they'll say, well, we don't know how many people read. Look at me, friends. You don't carve this stela for people not to know what it says because the stela bragged on the king. I did this. I did this. I did this. You want people to be able to read it. But now, could everybody carve that? I doubt it. In your notes, I think. So I don't want to understate or overstate, but I do know this, direct statements of Scripture. Galatians 6, verse 11, modern translations translate this differently and frankly, probably better. He says, you see how large a letter I have written unto you with my own hand. Almost assuredly, friend, Galatians not a large letter. He's talking about the size of the letters. He's probably doing what he does in all of his epistles. 1 Corinthians 16, the salutation of me, Paul, with what? Yes. This seems to be Paul's characteristic method. Colossians 4:18, the salutation by the hand of me, Paul. 2 Thessalonians 3:17, the salutation of Paul with mine own hand, which is the token in, what's it say? Which also means he didn't write the epistles. He signed them but didn't write them. Romans 16, absolutely, clearly, beyond any question, gives you the name of one person who did the writing. I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle. Now, if you don't get that, then you got a problem. Salute you in the Lord. So, here's a guy named Silvanus. He was a man, one man. He had two names, Silvanus, Latin, Silas, Greek. He had two ministries. It seems like a big piece of his ministry was writing. I'm going to give you this, and you can check me out. I would actually ask you to look at me. I would actually ask you to actually do what I asked you to do tonight. It's not hard. There's a name in the notes. Please do me a favor and actually look it up. Vindolanda. It's off of, look at me, everybody. It's off of Hadrian's Wall. Quit playing games. Don't trust people. Actually do your own research. It makes your life interesting. People could read and people could write in the ancient world. But if you're talking about sitting down to write was very difficult for a simple reason. You didn't have paper. You didn't have the necessary equipment. So I say in your notes, we'll do this quickly. Paul certainly could write. I mean, I think he was a highly educated man, but I say in your notes, common soldiers could write in the place called Vindolanda. All you have to do is look Vindolanda up. Vindolanda is famous for a couple of reasons. Everyone? Everyone? Up here? It has a unique soil that preserves leather. There are more sandals from the Roman era in the fortress area of Vindolanda than in the rest of the world. You have to hear that. When we were there, I think it was 5,000. I think it's 10 times that now. They keep finding Roman sandals when they do excavation because for some reason the pH keeps, leather doesn't rot. By the way, Elf, you know what else doesn't rot? They found out those Roman soldiers could write. I'm going to use your names. T-Tom owes me 3 sheep. They find that all over the place, written on leather or written on wood. Wood doesn't rot either. They found lots of writing. So people could write, but we're not talking about writing, I'll see you tomorrow, or you owe me 3 sheep or 3 goats. We're talking writing a letter. That requires paper. That requires all the utensils to write properly. That requires some expertise, some training. That's a little different ballgame. I remember years ago, let me ask the question here. Younger people, my young guys over here, how many of you can actually type? I don't mean, you know, you get on there and you can type. T-Tom, can I type? You're almost positive I can type. No, I type. Listen, friends, I remember asking people if they can type. They say, oh, yeah, I can type. And then you watch them and you're like, no, you can't type. I don't know what you're doing, but it's not typing. I can still remember the Dark Ages. Justifying margins, Mrs. Warren. On the side, oh, my goodness, and slinging that thing over. And if you made a mistake at the bottom of the page, you had to start again. Oh, yes. Let me give you all of this. Paul certainly could write. But common soldiers could write in Vindolanda. They could write their names, short letters, contracts, written on wood and other things. But writing was not easy. Paper. You know the thing that you think is no big deal? I just passed out notes tonight on paper. Where did you find paper in the ancient world? You didn't. Where did you find ink? You had to make your own. Where did you find the writing utensils? I say in your notes, normally this was done by some sort of a professional scribe. My guess, Silvanus was one of those professional scribes. What else was his ministry? Now, this is just as important. Seems like he was involved in the writing. He was also involved in the delivering of letters. Delivering letters? Otherwise, you didn't send an email. Send me an email with your notes. No. You had to hand that letter to somebody. And you had to have them deliver it. My guess is he was also involved, are you guys ready for this, in copying that letter because those letters were dispersed to other places. The whole process, he was involved. He was also involved in reading letters. We found that out earlier. When he got to these various places, he actually read the letters, preached the gospel. He was involved in applying letters, meaning saying this is the implications of what I am saying. And most of important of all, he was involved with both Peter and Paul in assisting the apostles. That's beautiful. 1221, Silvanus, one man, two names, two ministries, one mission. What was his mission? Everybody look at me. Everybody look up here. He had one mission. One big mission. Assisting two apostles in the preaching of the grace of God in the gospel. That was his life. By the way, I didn't give you the verses. I didn't intentionally give you the verses. Because I'm tired of babysitting some people that just kind of think, eh, that's Pastor Warren's idea. By the way, check it out for yourself. Every place you find a guy named Silas, he's preaching the gospel in the book of Acts. He's normally with Paul. You say, what was his mission? I'm not Paul. Look up here. I'm not Peter. But I can come along and help those two men because I have maybe some training in scribal things. I have the equipment. I have the ability. I have the expertise. I can carry those letters. I can deliver those letters. I can read those letters. I can apply those letters. I can assist the apostles. No, I'm not Peter. I'm not Paul. My name is Silas, but God has a purpose for me. One man, two names, two ministries, one mission. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Bless our time this evening, I ask in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand, please.